Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of the Our Football Podcast, episode 75. Welcome back, everybody. So much to talk about. We've got games. And to join me, as always, is my counterpart, Adriana Terrazas. Adriana, how are you today?
I'm great, Amy. I'm so excited to record today's podcast, to be honest.
I know, me too. And because we were so excited to record this podcast, we couldn't do it by ourselves. There's too much to talk about. I want to hear their thoughts, and I wanted to invite them on the pod. We've had them here before. It's Melissa Hernandez, from, you know her from Chivas Feminine English, and Eugene Rupinski, who does great stuff at Footmex Nation and FMF State of Mind. Melissa, how are you today?
Fine, really happy to be talking to you. I mean, I know we send a lot of WhatsApp messages, but it's nice to hear your guys' voices.
For sure. Eugene, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Thank like Melissa said, I'm always happy to join and talk, whether it's WhatsApp or as close to in person as we have anymore. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. So for all of you guys who listen to our pod or follow women's soccer, I mean, we've been waiting for national team action since forever, just forever, forever. And we're finally getting it official. Two friendlies against Costa Rica this Saturday, the first one in Estadio Azteca at 1 p.m. Central Time, which is 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You go ahead and convert that however you need to for wherever you live. And then we'll have a second one on Tuesday, February 23rd. I'll go around the table first. Adriana, one sentence, immediate thoughts on this.
I'm so optimistic regarding just what players were called up, how it fits everything we've known from the league, from players abroad. So I'm really optimistic after I saw this first. I mean, it's not Monica Vergara's first call up. She did have a small mini camp a week ago, but now seeing an actual camp for two games, by the way, one of them at the Azteca, Mexican national team hasn't played there, I think, in 14 years, which is exciting just on its own. But yeah, I think optimistic would be the best word to describe how I felt after looking at this call up and just seeing what players were called. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm satisfied with the players we saw. So yeah, I'm psyched.
Mel?
I mean, if this is a dream, don't wake me up. I'm fine living in this reality.
Eugene?
Feels like the first day of school, right? Like we're going into this and we're not sure what to expect. And, you know, it's like everybody's the new kid and, you know, it's good to get this underway and finally see what we have. We have a good mix of players from Liga MX Femenil, a couple from the U.S. college system and some of our Europeas as well. So, you know, this is exciting. This is going to be fun. And I think we're going to learn a lot.
Yeah, most definitely. And to kind of kick things off, because we have a ton of questions. Thank you, by the way, to all the listeners that gave us like a ton of questions. We're definitely going to get into that and give the time for that. But one thing I wanted to kind of focus on first is how we got here, so to speak, right? Because it was a whole year since we got any type of action. The last things I think all of us know at this point is Cyprus Cup, March of 2020, which in and of itself is a kind of like a murky tournament. It's not, you know, it has importance, but it's not even kind of like a real tournament. It's kind of like they just go play games and then we'll see who ranks where, you know. So keeping that in mind, starting this year, 2021, on January 18th, Christopher Cuellar is officially announced as no longer being the coach. January 19th is when we get that historic moment. Monica Vergara, Maribel Dominguez, Ana Galindo, you know, are all now senior U20, U17 coaches. Then January 25th is when the camp is announced. So we get our first camp, which is basically consisting of only Liga MX Femenil and US-based players. Then this is where things start getting very women's soccery for Mexico. February 1st. I don't remember who it was. Was it officially the Costa Rican national team or the federation, or was it like a Costa Rican like news outlet that announces this about their players being called up for alleged friendlies against Mexico?
I think it was like one of the clubs themselves that announced it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think they dropped like one of these announcements that our player is going to some friendlies.
All right. Okay. Just now double checking. Okay. So February 1st, that happens. Then I already made this joke on Twitter, but it has to be said. Thank you, Ollie, for interrupting my audio. As always, really appreciate it. We usually watch games sometimes for the Liga MX Femenil on TV. Turns out on February 13th, I think we were in the middle of watching Pumas versus Pachuca. Is that right? I think it was Yeah, right. We're all, but this commercial was only in Mexico, right? Because I didn't see it here in the U.S., right?
Yeah, I think it only showed over here.
Okay, so then a commercial pops out in Mexico that's announcing the game between Mexico and, like, officially, like, that's officially for TV, right? So then we're all sending out that, like, that's like our announcement, like every news outlet is like, by the way, here's the game. And then officially yesterday, February 15th, we get the announcement of said friendlies. I mean, Eugene, we're kind of talking about this in the chat, but it's kind of crazy how we get this sort of, like, this sort of wave of, like, it could be handled much better, right?
Yeah, it just seems messy, right? I mean, we get, I know that the clubs get to know beforehand what players are being called up just because, I guess, logistics and stuff like that. So, but still, I mean, clubs announcing it beforehand, which I know the Federation, like, really, really hates it when that happens, or even if it's like the rival team, even when it happens on that on their end, because obviously they get calls from press like, oh, why are they announcing a game against Mexico and we don't know anything? So we get that. Yeah, then the TV commercial comes on and we still don't know anything. So we know a game's going on because obviously, for it to actually have a commercial, it means it's a big deal. Something has been planned and done with ahead of time. And then afterwards, that's when we get the call up. We actually got the confirmation of the friendlies first. And then like a couple hours later, that's when we got the call up. So yeah, I guess it could be handled just a bit better, but I mean, I would just like to get the friendlies, get to know again that they're playing at the Azteca after over 10 years and then seeing the call up. I mean, I was like, okay, we'll just let it be and just imagine that they'll get a little bit better with the logistics of actually announcing games and call ups in the future.
Yeah, I think it must be weird for them after not having anything to announce for a year. And now they must be wondering what to do with so much information.
Their vacation time just ended. They're like, oh, okay, we've got people tweeting. We've got tweets. Let's see what we can do.
It must be weird for them.
Yeah, I actually, there was this weird thing happening because we started seeing all these stories come up regarding when was the last time the Mexican national team, the women's side, had their last game at the Azteca. And some people started saying it was 2004. Some people started saying it was 2007. By the way, no one quoted their sources. People, you've got to quote your sources. I mean, you just don't post stuff like that everywhere. So I asked someone at the Federation, I was like, what do you guys know? When's the actual last time? And they said, we're not entirely sure, but we had to ask someone from the team. And then they said, apparently it's 2004, just before the Olympics. But then we started looking at some news agencies and photo agencies, and they had a photo of a game in 2007. So I told them, hey, but there's this other photo regarding, like, it says 2007, you can see it's the Azteca. And they're like, oh, okay, then that must be it. So yeah, it just goes to show that, I mean, we do need better statistics sometimes in the Federation. It just goes to show that's one of the many things that still has to just, you know, work and be a little bit better. But it was funny that even the Federation wasn't really sure when was the last time, or they didn't have just somewhere or someone that could totally just be 100% sure about when was the last time that the women's national team played at the Estadio Azteca.
I'm just thinking that even the whole screenshot thing was wrong, because didn't they use a picture of Renee Cuellar and she wound up tweeting out something like, I wasn't called up, but good luck to the squad, I guess.
My thing about it too. Like, I guess I can understand this, like, sort of not hesitance, but I guess just like, oh man, we gotta actually start doing stuff now. And not to like make fun of them, but I'm sure it's a lot. It's a lot to process, even not for me in a bad way, but it's a lot to process, I guess, so to speak, like just everybody in general. But it's something that in a way that I get upset is like, well, we should have had something in place for this development to not be so fast and just kind of all over the place. But to their, my only, I guess, benefit of the doubt is that in a sense, maybe the Federation only gives them so much to work with. Like maybe they only have like certain templates that they can use, or I know the Federation sometimes is very picky about like which players are appearing, how they're supposed to appear and sort of, and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, I saw even today, I think Azteca Deportes too had like B-roll that included Renee, and we already have the call-ups of who's supposed to be on it. So yeah, I thought that too, though, that includes it in the mess. But I mean, let's talk about that a little bit, because we were also mentioning that in our chat, you know, what is your feelings about her kind of breaking the news of like she's not part of it? We'll start with Mel.
I mean, I think it must have been like awkward for her. Like she already knows she's not going to get called up, and then like to see her image there. So, I mean, I know that it got like blown up into a huge thing, but I mean, she was just, I took it as she was just like clearing up the air and saying, I'm not going to be there, but I mean, just wishing the best to the team.
Yeah, I guess it shows sometimes how much lack of knowledge there is. I do think the Federation might not give all information regarding like who's being called up and when, what time they're going to just say that kind of thing. Or maybe they do, and it's just, there's lack of knowledge regarding, I mean, if they would have told me, hey, you have to do this, this design and just choose a player, I would have chosen one that was in the recent call-up and just go with your gut and saying, hey, I'm pretty sure, I was thinking Dani Espinosa, for instance. I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure she's going to be in the definite, like the final call-up for the friendlies. So I would have gone with her maybe, or just one key player that, you know, hey, she's been with Monica Vergara before and stuff like that. I mean, you try to connect the dots. But when this happened, I was like, well, maybe it's just because of the fact that we still have a long way to go regarding making sure that people actually get to know the players and know what's going on and all the context behind them. That's when we'll avoid seeing these sort of mistakes.
For me, I think it's just there needs to be better communication from the Federation. And, you know, I don't pretend to have all sorts of inner knowledge of who got what, when, and all of that. But it would seem that the Federation would want to do something where they were a little bit proactive and send out to outlets to say, okay, look, we're going to be announcing a call up on this date. Here are three or four of the players that are for sure going to be called up so you can put together some graphics. We'll be releasing the lineups at this time and really kind of lay out a process for that to kind of help the people whose job it is to get the message out actually get out the message and get it out in a clear fashion, right? So, you know, I kind of put that on the Federation, and maybe, you know, again, I only know what I know, so I don't know the whole story of it, but it would seem to me that somebody somewhere just that didn't happen, and hopefully they learn from that going forward, because I can't imagine that ever happening to a men's call up.
Well, that was something that and tell me if I'm wrong. Well, not tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if this is wrong so I can tell the person who told me this that they're wrong. Supposedly that there's been instances where like Chicharito's on like billboards or like commercials and stuff and he's not even going to play. Like, does that happen? I feel like what you're saying, Eugene, I'm kind of on that line. Like, I feel like when games are going to be played, they kind of already have an intel where it's like, oh yeah, we should try to skew away from like putting this player or that player.
I'm trying to remember now if I've seen commercials with Chicharito in them, and you know, it's like one thing. It's one thing if they do a commercial and they're using a player like Chicharito who sometimes goes, sometimes doesn't go, or maybe hasn't been called up in a while, but there's a chance that he's going. It's another for, you know, when was the last time Rene was called up? I mean, it's been quite a while.
I think it was the Olympic qualifiers, right?
Oh, was it?
I think so. I don't think she went to Cyprus Cup. I think that was more of like Liga MX, like not second string, but like Liga MX femenil players, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just trying to, I don't remember if she went to, I'd have to go back and look now, to the Olympic qualifiers, but it seems to me like it's been a while, and she wasn't on any of the recent call-ups, I don't believe. I mean, I would, like Adriana said, I think you'd want to stick more toward people on that roster, you know, just because that's the most recent thing that you have, right? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, you know, maybe that's why I only write about it and don't do PR for Mexico.
I think there's a lot of things that Mexico and PR doesn't do, for what it's worth. But I mean, let's look at the players. The official matches are happening this Saturday and the next Tuesday. As of right now, Ceci Santiago from PSV is the goalkeeper. Emmy Oliverado was part of the original call-ups, but because apparently it's Antarctica in the... No, I'm going to stop us talking about women's soccer for a second. Eugene, you're in the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we have to sympathize. Like, it's pretty bad. I want to say that. But is it colder where you are, just for my, like, as an LA person? Because it's like 63 here and I'm freezing, so I don't even complain. But like, for you, is it pretty, like, is it pretty cold, like, in the?
So today was really warm. It got all the way up to like 50.
that is cold here.
But this is the warmest day that we've had in quite a while. So I'm like an hour south of Philadelphia. I'm in Delaware, and we're in this pattern where it like snows every like 2 to 3 days. The last time it was freezing rain, which is just awful and gross. Today was warm, but I think Thursday we're supposed to get more snow. So
is it whatever. Like, but I guess what I'm asking is like, so like Oklahoma and Texas, like it's pretty cold over there compared to what you guys are dealing with, or is it like you guys are dealing with your own level of coldness?
No, I think it's way colder there than it is here. I think just because, not to get too like weather nerdy, but I think the cold air mass that pushes down from Canada like sunk straight south instead of coming out toward us. So that's where all that's kind of sitting now. Damn. And then as it blows out east, like it's kind of picking up some of the warm air from the Gulf of Mexico and from, you know, the southern states and bringing it up our way.
It's snowing in Monterrey, right? Did you guys see that, Adriana Mel? It's like snowing in Monterrey, supposedly. Does that normally happen? I know nothing about weather. That's why.
I don't think it's snowing because
Dang it, social media lied to me.
Yeah. But it does get really weird weather sometimes. It's kind of funny because they're kind of near the coast. I mean, not totally near the coast, but they do get like all that draft weather sometimes coming in. And they have gotten like really terrible floods sometime recently. So yeah, I'm pretty sure that they're getting like kind of the impact of it, but not entirely. I mean, I've seen photos of things happening in Texas. I was kind of laughing and it was kind of mean, but I actually saw like a TikTok yesterday of a woman who woke up and saw that her daughter's like aquarium had frozen over.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So yeah, but I'm sure it's not as bad in Monterrey, but yeah. Let's just hope it doesn't get as bad. But yeah, I feel for the people that are over there because I know it's really impacted like everything they've been doing. I don't even remember like Texas getting like any snow. It's like just one of those things that you know can happen, but you've never really actually heard of it happen, or at least not recently. Not that I can remember.
They had a Super Bowl in Dallas a few years back, and I remember the stadium in Dallas being covered in ice, like. Covered in ice. It's not like totally uncommon, but it's pretty rare, right? Like it's not, you know, living up here, I expect it. You know, I would not expect it that frequently in Dallas. And I think that's part of the problem there is that they're just not used to it. They're not set up. I mean, you know, here, like our state has, you know, salt trucks and, you know, tons and tons and tons of salt. Like you're driving up I-95 and you'll see this big, you know, almost like a warehouse full of road salt that they use. I mean, they just don't have that in like Texas and Oklahoma, especially in you know, parts that don't see that. They don't, you know, they don't think to spend the money on that because it, you know, it's once in every 10 years thing or whatever. So yeah, I feel awful for the people there. I hope everybody down there is keeping warm and, you know, help arrives soon.
Yeah, so there was a point for us to talk about the weather. It did affect, it, like we're talking about, it is affecting a ton of states. Hope they're safe. It did affect some of the national team players that were supposed to be heading down for these friendlies. So goalkeeper Emily Alvarado from Texas Christian University won't be traveling anymore. She'll be replaced by Pumas' Melanie Vieira. And then defender Kimberly Rodriguez from Oklahoma State University won't be going anymore. She'll be replaced by America Feminine's Jocelyn Orejel. So to keep going with the roster, so it's Ceci, Melanie, Itzel Gonzalez. Then in defenders, we got Monica Rodriguez, Andrea Sanchez, Kenty Robles, Jimena Lopez, Greta Espinosa, Bianca Sierra, Reina Reyes, Karina Rodriguez. Wait, am I confusing them? No, I just said, is it? Yeah, it's Kimberly, right? That's not going? Kimberly Rodriguez?
Yeah, it's Kimberly. It's not going. Okay. But there's a K Rodriguez. There's like two K Rodriguez. One's Karina and one's Kimberly. So
it's Andrea Sanchez all over again. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Then in the midfield, we've got Montserrat Hernandez, Joanna Robles, Rebecca Bernal, Diana Evangelista, Nicole Perez, Silvana Flores, Liliana Mercado, Maria Sanchez. And then up top, we've got Daniela Espinosa, Alison Gonzalez, Elias Cervantes, Kiana Palacios, Katy Martinez, and Stephanie Mayor. And to kind of go into some of the questions that people were asking us, you know, thoughts on the roster overall. Adriana, we'll start with you.
I just think it was I'm trying to find like the correct word, but it was totally realistic to what I expected. I mean, yeah, some of the players I honestly wasn't thinking about. I didn't have Karina Rodriguez in my mind, to be honest. So it'll be really interesting to see some of the players come in and just look at them, because sometimes that's the problem with some of the players that are playing in the States. We don't have any way of actually seeing them play or see what they're doing, what position they're playing. We just know that they're defenders or they're playing midfield. So I thought it was a really great way to just start and integrating younger players, all those that Monica knows from the U20s, even from the U17s, and combine them with really great, more experienced players like Stephanie Mayor, for instance, or Ketty Robles. So I was pretty excited when I started seeing some of the names, just because it's not like sometimes it happened in previous call-ups that we were like, why is this player being called up? I mean, some things like you really didn't understand. And now it just seems as though it's realistic. It's something where you look at all the players and you just don't think that they're being there, or they're a little bit flexible, or there wasn't anybody else to call up. You're looking in the middle, like, this is a pretty solid list. So I was quite happy when I saw the names. I'm really happy to start seeing some of the growth, like seeing Silvana being called up to the senior squad officially for the first time, stuff like that. I'm really happy to see, because we're starting to see how they're going to face some of the challenges of not having that U20 World Cup, having to start thinking about all those friendlies we're going to have at the end of the year, qualifiers. And it just seems as though the best way was to start building this new generation, combining young talent with some more experienced players.
For sure. Melissa, on a scale of 10 to 10, how happy were you to see Licha Cervantes in this announcement?
I mean, she deserves it. I mean, she's been playing at a great level. And I mean, overall, I like this roster. I think that Monica Vergara is going to have like a huge job. Like, she's not only going to have to juggle Mexican players who are in Mexico and players who are abroad, but she also will need to juggle like these generations, the U20s and the veterans. So I think that it's like a nice mix, and you can tell that it kind of signals that she's like keeping options open. Like, if you're a player like Licha Cervantes who has never been called up, like, you have a chance there. And if you are one of the younger players, you also have a chance there. So I really like what she's doing, and I mean, I think that it's like overall like really solid, and I think that she will have to navigate those things, how to juggle and how to balance those, all those different like factors in choosing players.
Eugene, your thoughts on the roster, and then I'll go to the other question as you answer that one. It says Ovalle Cuellar, which we just talked about, and until recently, Jocelyn Hell were out of the call-up. Jocelyn obviously returned. This is from @FrijoBeans. He said, Who are taking their roles, and what's your analysis on why they weren't called up under this new Vergara era? Parentheses, I remember seeing Ovalle work the wing against the U.S. in L.A. last year, thought she was a sure call-up. So I guess any snubs for you alongside your thoughts on the roster?
Let me go into my thoughts on the roster first. The roster to me is good. I think Vergara is sending a message. If you look at the roster, like Melissa and Adriana pointed out, there's a little bit of everybody on there, right? So we have Europeos, we have people from U.S. college, we have Liga MX players, we have some long timers, we have some people getting their first call-ups. I think the message this sends to players is we're watching you. No matter where you're playing, we're watching. You have a shot to make this. And that's a powerful message. That's a good message to send.
She also definitely said that in the press conference too, right? I mean, that with all the kind of drama that happened under Cuellar, she started off by saying the door is open to anybody.
Yeah. And this reinforces that. I mean, you know, sometimes coaches say things and don't follow up on it, and she is following up on that. And I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, I think if we're looking at snubs, yeah, I think Ovalle is probably one, but you know what you're going to get from Jackie Ovalle. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't know kind of what to expect from her. And I think it's good to kind of get some other options, get some other looks at some other players and that, you know, I think, that's really the only one that stood out to me. I mean, with a roster like this, there's it's so much quality. It's hard to argue that any of them really shouldn't be there, you know? So.
I mean, my argument to the Ovaya question is, isn't she technically coming off injury? Like, she's barely starting to get better. So
she didn't even like travel to their latest match.
Yeah, with Tigres, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know what she, like Eugene is saying, you know what she brings to the table. I don't think it's necessarily like a bad thing. I think it's like she's not called up because she's injured. I mean, the better question is though, like, why is a player like Renee not called up when she's perfectly fit? I also think in a sense, it could be that same answer. Like, you know what she brings to the table. I think you know what kind of quality she possesses, where she's not necessarily in doubt, or I think her position is in danger. I just think Monica is trying to, you know, spread out what she hasn't been able to see and give some people a new opportunity, like players like Licha. What do you think, Adriana?
Yeah, agreed. I think, I'm pretty sure lots of clubs came forward, or just the ones that actually needed to just like give some precaution regarding players coming out of injury, stuff like that. So if you combine that with players that you, as Eugene and Melissa said, you know what they can give you in a national team level, you know what they're prepared for, you know them from just seeing them every week in Liga MX Feminine. So if you have the opportunity to actually look a little bit deeper into those players that maybe you haven't had too much contact with, that you'd like to see how they come up and play for the national team if they have or haven't had a chance recently, I think you'll get more out of that opportunity than just calling up players who you actually have seen before and you know what they're capable of. So I think it's starting to look into that. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the players that are being called up for the Costa Rica matches aren't called up next time. And it doesn't mean that she's not taking them into consideration. It's just she wants to see players as much as she can, and she won't always have the chance. And sometimes it's kind of unfair to call up a player if you're not going to have a chance to actually just have them in the lineup at some point. So I'm guessing that's somehow what they're looking into, just having players that are right now physically just 100% ready to play, not risking any injury, because we're kind of halfway through in the league and you don't want to risk players of missing out any Liguilla opportunities and stuff like that. So you just might call up some players that you know could fit the role perfectly, and you want to look at them a little bit more in depth and just see what they're capable of, and just make that competition for the next call-ups just be that much harder.
Yeah, for sure. So thank you to @FreeHopeBeans for that question. Our good friend AJ @SpoochyTaco had a few questions to ask us that we kind of already answered. But looking at this roster, I mean, his question is players to watch for Mexico in these next two friendlies. My easy answer is all of them. But if you guys had to pick one or two players, I mean, Adriana, we'll start with you. Who are some players to watch during these friendlies?
Let me see. I'm looking at the list. It's a lot easier that way. I'm obviously really excited to see, again, players that we don't usually have the opportunity to see up close. Usually the ones coming in from the States, because sometimes we'll be really lucky and we'll be able to see how Genti is doing with Real Madrid, stuff like that. But it's not like we don't know how she plays or what she can bring to a national team. I'm really excited to see how Silvana Flores, how she just does with the senior national team, because we know how much of a leadership position she had with the U20. She was captain of that team, but she hasn't been playing that much. And I'm guessing that's what the main reason she changed to Reading from Chelsea. So I'd like to see how she is physically, how she's been doing, if like just because of that lack of activity. And just see how she does now under more of a role of just following other players that have been more experienced with the senior side. So I'm interested to see that. Alicia Cervantes, really, really interesting to see how she does with the national team. I mean, obviously we've seen her with Chivas, but just seeing how she does with a squad that will be almost, I mean, entirely different. Guadalajara wasn't one of the teams that had most call-ups. It was Monterrey and Tigres. I think only a couple of players were called in from Chivas, or the other one being... No, I think she was the only one, right, Melissa? She was only from Chivas. It's only Licha, right?
Right now, yes. In the last call-up, it was also Miriam Garcia and Caro Jaramillo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, just see how players do without their usual teammates to actually help them by, and just see how she adapts to another role. Also, see how Monica Vergara actually chooses what tactics she uses and how players adapt to those in case they're different from the ones that they're used to every weekend. So I'm guessing I'm more eager to see them. Jimena Lopez just came in, just signed with Eibar. So it'll also be interesting to see how she's been doing lately and just get a look at what she can bring in for the team as well.
Mel?
Well, I'm excited to see a Maria Sanchez Licha Cervantes reunion there. And just because Maria deserves someone who can actually finish her crosses.
I was waiting to see if there was going to be some shade. You know what? I'm happy. I got it. I'm like, yeah, take it off my bingo card.
And yeah, I mean, yeah, just seeing how those players who haven't been there will react. Adrian also already mentioned Silvana and that other youngster who I haven't seen play, Nicole Perez. I think that she might do a great job there. So yeah, I mean, it's just seeing how they work together, and it's going to be interesting how Monica Vergara sets up or what her system is going to be to fit those players in.
You're at the top of the table. Why are you being so mean? Don't be mean, Mel. Eugene, players for you to watch out for.
So for me, I'm going to kind of avoid the obvious ones. I'm going to go with Reyna Reyes from the University of Alabama. Alabama hasn't played competitive soccer since November. Now they're scheduled to play in a couple of days because the U.S. college system shut down for COVID, and everybody kind of staggered when and if they came back. So she hasn't really played in a while. So I'm interested to see if she gets any minutes, how she does, but I think it's important that she's there. Again, I think the message that it sends is a good one that, you know, hey, even if you're in college in the U.S. and your team hasn't played since November, you know, we still value you. We still are keeping an eye on you. I think the other person I'm excited for is Melanie Villeda. I think she's done an amazing job with Pumas this season. I don't know if she's going to get any minutes, but I think getting her first call up to the senior team, I think having her there is important because I think she's going to be that kind of one of those next generation of goalkeepers. Mexico certainly has a lot of very good and talented women in net, and I think she is certainly one of them, so I'm excited to see how she does there too.
Also, just want to quickly plug in for Eugene. He's doing some fantastic work with women's soccer, as always. We're actually doing something over at Footmex Nation for Mexicanas in college that he's taking the lead on and is really good. So definitely advise you guys to go ahead and check a look at that on our website. Kind of going into the obvious now, because this is a question from Luis P. at Segundice Luis. Start with you, Eugene. Who do you guys feel should be the two forwards as of right now? And were there any players kind of saying the same question, snubbed? You said Daniela Solis. She has had a good run of form with Rayadas, but I'm going to kind of answer this first. I also feel like the players that we have right now are good, and I think people need to be patient. This is the first time, so I'm okay with her not being there, but she has had a good run of form with Rayadas so far.
Yeah, and you know, again, I think it kind of goes back to, you know, wanting to take a look at some other players. I agree with that. I'm sorry, I'm like looking at the list and going, okay, two forwards, who do I not play? And I'm going, oh my god, like, oh, I can't sit Allison Gonzalez, right? Like, that's not, yeah, why could I, can I sit?
He's top scorer right now in the league.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well then, you know, do I sit Licha Cervantes? Do I sit Caddy Martinez? Like, you know, this is a dream and a nightmare, right? Like, who of this do you sit? Who of this do you? I don't think there's really any bad options. I think if it was up to me, I for the first game, I would go, I think you got to go with Allison. And I think I'd put Caddy in there, but you know, that's in this 10 seconds. If you give me 10 more seconds, I might have two different people in there.
Well, remember, you can always sub. So this is just a start, and then you can sub. So, okay, you got Allison and Caddy. Adriana, who are you going with as your two?
I would start Alicia and Caddy.
Oh, that'd
for
be
some
good.
Weird reason. I'm not entirely sure, but it just seems as though I'd like to see them together. I don't know. I think they could be really, really lethal up there. The other thing is they have Dani Espinosa as a striker, but sometimes I think of her more as an offensive midfielder. So I'm kind of doubting like how Monica Vergara could actually use her sometimes. Sometimes I think she could play just a bit behind the strikers. So yeah, or just like on the wing. So yeah, I'm kind of thinking that maybe she's thinking of Dani Espinosa in a different way than sometimes we've seen it with America.
Mel, who are you going with? Licha and who?
I want to unite Guadalajara and put Allison in there.
That's a good one. I like that one. I was thinking of that one too. That would be my answer too. To start off, like as the first game, I say go with Allison and Licha, because Allison's got the aerial game kind of. I mean, she's still learning. She's very young, but she is a top scorer. She's kind of got that one figured out. And then Licha's a little bit more like not reckless, but she's very experimental, like more down below. So I'd like to see how those two dynamics work. I think that would be really interesting to see. But yeah, like Eugene says, I think it's a good problem to have. You have so many options there. You could do whatever.
You could just like throw the names like up in the air and whatever team you land first. Just that's put what she's gonna do. It'll work.
Monica is just gonna throw like their IDs, like you know the ones they used to have when you used to play games. Used to play like in those rec leagues. Like she's just gonna throw them, close her eyes, and then point like grab two, and that's just who she's gonna pick to start.
Yeah.
She'll just still have solid options to go with. Let me check out these other questions. Good question here from Vasquez Val. Really cool guy. He did the Harvard talk with Janelle and Sandra, if you guys don't remember. Said, should we as fans feel like this is finally it? That the FMF is going to finally and truly invest in women, in the women's side? We've wanted this for years, and it seems like with Vergara, a domestic league, more regular camps, this really is a new era. Eugene, we'll start with you.
Yes, but I think everything that was pointed out are things to be optimistic about, but I think we as fans and perhaps us as media, members of the media, should hold the FMF kind of accountable and make sure that this is in fact a new era and that we don't go back to not playing and not calling up rosters. And, or if we call up rosters, it's the same, you know, 22 players every single time. Like, you know, let's keep their feet to the fire. Like, yeah, this is a good start, and it should be treated as a good start. This should not be considered the end goal for me.
Adriana.
Yeah, agreed. I think we just can't like let them like off that easily. We just can't be like, oh, you guys, we're going to forget everything that went wrong in previous months and just forget the fact that they haven't played for a year. I think it's just the beginning of what we should expect and we should sort of demand as fans, just being that much like more serious about the women's project at the senior team level. Demand that, yeah, these call-ups are something that we should get used to, just have that constant activity, that constant information regarding players, what's going on with the coaches, and not only at the senior team. I mean, in this case, it's because, yeah, we haven't seen them in a year. But also the U20, the U17, just kind of make sure that we're used to having that constant activity and just not think that it's okay for them to take a break or not let us know what's going on or what's on their minds, what they're planning ahead. So yeah, I agree with Eugene totally. It's a great start. It's even better, I think, than most of us expected. I mean, we were just happy with Monica Vergara just being called, like announced as a senior team coach. So we're just thrilled that now we have two games and we have two call-ups already, and it's just mid-February. So I just think it's something that we should start demanding that just keeps up, that they don't let go of whatever that they're starting with this project.
Melissa, you called this a dream that you didn't want to wake up from, but when you wake up and you look at the clearer picture, same question. Have they finally done it, or what's still missing from it all?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I agree with Eugene and Adriana. I mean, we can enjoy this and we can like be optimistic about this, but we also cannot lose like that critical focus. And in that regard, I really like something that Claudia Pedraza tweeted. And like her tweet says, the question is why in almost two decades the senior national team had not played like on the biggest venue of the country. And she said, there's a difference between working to just train a team and working to lead a project that really drives women's football. So I think we can be happy about this, but yeah, I mean, we just need to keep like pushing and making sure that the federation realizes that as fans in those media, we are watching them, and just because they did, like, they're not going to get like any free cookies for doing what should be like the minimum for this team.
I don't want to sound like I agree with all of you guys. My additional point to this, and I don't want to sound like somebody who's never satisfied, right? But I thought of this kind of like in talking, I guess, about the pandemic, you know, where we kind of, you know, like Eugene for us in the US, kind of go like, so you guys could do all these things, you guys just didn't do them. So I look at it like that. So in the course of a month, you guys have figured out how to get this together, when this sort of development could have existed, or like Melissa saying with Claudia's post, like this could have existed how long ago? You know, I'm happy, and yes, I'm excited and elated, and I'm kind of writing something that's going to be out tomorrow for Filmex Nation. I'm just kind of like right there right now. Like that's like my purgatory state, is like, I'm so happy all this is happening, but it's happening so fast that I feel like you guys could have taken a step back and done this desde cuando, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's where I'm at. And I'm hoping, like this question says, it is the start of a new era, but there's still so much more to be done.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's just because it is kind of painful to think about how much time we've lost. I think that's what just hurts us the most, and just makes us think, why did we have to reach a point where this happened to get all these right decisions to be made? So I just think it's, like we were saying, just keep that in perspective, and know that we haven't won anything yet. I mean, we're definitely on the right course and just heading the right way, but we still have a World Cup ticket to win. Obviously, it seems a lot easier now, knowing that the next World Cup will have more teams. But still, I mean, we do have to grow in a confederation that has a world champion and has a team that's really competitive, like Canada. We have to remember that we haven't been at the Olympics for the women's soccer ever since 2004. So again, we're definitely heading in the right way, but just we still haven't won anything. Just because we're heading in the right direction doesn't mean we're there yet. It just means that we're heading there, and we still have lots of work to be done.
Yeah, most definitely. So now let's kind of get into the game itself. Let's start looking at it. This question is from @football_or. Eugene, we'll start with you. I didn't prepare any of you guys for this, so just say all or say some predicted lineup for this match. So say maybe like a goalkeeper, we already said the strikers, like who else should be essential to this first match? Let's go with the first match first.
Oh man, okay, so first match, I think in goal you start Ceci Santiago, right? Let's see. I already named my two strikers, so that's three down. I'm looking at the roster now. I think I'd want to see Jimena Lopez in there, and Kenty, as well as Monica Flores and Bianca Sierra. And again,
you want five players on defense? No, they're just not count correctly.
I thought I said four.
Okay, I missed it. Okay.
I think so. So it was Monica Flores, Kenty, Jimena, and Bianca Sierra.
Oh yeah. Okay, four. And then Ceci in goal, right?
Ceci in goal. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then for the midfield, Yeah, man, I don't know. That's where I kind of fall apart. It's like, how do I make all this fit together? I don't know. What do you think?
I think we should do the ID thing again and just like toss them up in here. I'd like to see Nicole, Liliana. Wait, no, because usually they kind of play the same position. So I guess it depends. Wait, do you want four midfielders? Or do you want three? Do you want like a 4-3-3 or like a 4-4-2?
Your guys' lineup. And also, I have no answer to this. I'm just going to preface that by saying, I don't like these questions. I don't
know what the answer is. Yeah, they're not giving us easy ones. This one's hard. Yeah, I was just kind of going under the assumption of a 4-4-2 because, you know,
we had two strikers just a while ago. We were thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I had already put that much work into it. I mean, why let that go to waste?
Melissa, you got anything for us? Come on.
I'm kind of curious because if I remember correctly, one of the issues with this team during the Olympic qualifiers was the lack of a left back. So I'm interested in seeing what Monica is going to do with that. So who's going to be like that left back for the national team? I mean, she called Andrea Sanchez, who did not make it to the to the Olympic qualifiers, but who else can play left back on that team? Because Monica and Kenty, they play on the right side, right?
Yeah, I was actually thinking if we could kind of switch Monica to left side, just because I'd like to see both of them. But yeah, they both play on right usually. Doesn't Jimena play on left? I think she does.
Yeah, I think so.
She does.
Yeah, so maybe, yeah, probably looking at Jimena at left back. But I do agree it's a position we usually struggle with. For midfield, I'd like to see Nicole with Liliana, and then maybe Maria with Monse Hernandez. I'm struggling with what side they could play, because I'm pretty sure Maria and Monse play on left, I think, both of them, right? Okay, we need to do, you know what we need to do? We need to do like whatever Miguel Ayun did, that he's not a lefty, but he plays on like left back, and Juan Carlos Osorio hated it, and he put him always on the right side. We need to do that with the women's side. We need to just make sure they can play with both sides, and that way this could be a lot easier.
To paraphrase Eugene, this is why I'm not a coach, okay? I'm
yeah, exactly.
I am a reporter. Do not ask me these complicated questions. No, I'm just kidding. We'll prepare.
Yeah, because you have Rebecca Bernal on there. So if you have her as a midfielder, it's usually because you're going to play her like holding midfield.
Yeah, which she does. So, yeah. I mean, she does well, but.
Yeah, agreed. But then again, I usually think of Dani Espinosa a bit more as an offensive midfielder, and they have her as a striker. So yeah, I'm struggling with this now.
We'll think about it. Yeah. We'll get back to you. I'll have them send me the answers, and I'll make a cute little graphic for all of us before the game. And then we'll see who's
right. Just grab pen and paper and like started drafting something.
I'm literally just gonna do what Adriana said. I'm gonna write everybody's name down on a piece of paper, and I'm just gonna
throw it up in the air
and yeah. Just pick. They'll make blindfolded. It happen. Not even gonna guess. So Melanie, if you get a start, congratulations. You're getting your debut start for the national team as a goalkeeper. All right. That was fun. Good job, everybody. Nobody was prepared for that. I'm very proud of all of us.
We accomplished nothing, but yeah, we're all proud.
We learned that we would not work as coaches.
This is why the Federation only partly listens to us, because half the time we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, they learned they don't want any of us coaching.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're welcome, Federation. This is not necessarily a question, but is a good question to include in our chat. Our good friend Pamela Del Olmo at PN Dom had a question for the internet that I'm going to share with all of you guys. Who should be the captain of Monica Vergara's teams? She picked four choices, well, three, and then technically one's open. So feel free to choose anybody you want. She put Kenty Robles, Rebecca Bernal, Liliana Mercado, or somebody else. Adriana, we'll start with you.
I was thinking Kenty or Stephanie. I go with any one of them. I mean, obviously it depends on whether or not they're going to be playing. I'm pretty sure Kenty will play. So I'm thinking her, and then Stephanie, maybe for like a second game in case she's in the starting lineup.
For sure. Melissa?
Yeah, Kenty or Rebecca.
Cool. Eugene?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Kenty and maybe... maybe Ceci. I always like my captains being in the back half of the field. I don't know why. Again, that's why I'm not a coach. So that's what I'm going with.
I'm going partly with Adriana, but I'm going Stephanie, not because Kenty is not a huge iconic player at all, but Demi Mayor has always had, she has like, I've always said it, she has like Andres Guardado vibes. Like I see her and I immediately respect her. Like even the way she like walks, and like it gives me very much Andres Guardado vibes. I don't know how to describe it, but I would go with Stephanie Mayor, to be honest. That would be mine. If I don't see where the captains are in bed, I'm not going to be upset, but you know, as a obviously a very resourceful person and knowing how lineups and all work, I'm just going to be like.
I'm actually thinking that Liliana Mercado would be interesting to see as captain as well, just because of how experienced she's been with Tigres. I think she's pretty vocal. I think she could be like a great like second or third option as well.
All right, guys. Well, that's the end of our questions. We'll start with Eugene. Any final thoughts on this talk? I'm really glad.
I'm glad we got together. You know, as always, thank you for having me. I always enjoy coming and talking with you guys. My final thought is I'm just excited for this. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm excited to see where Mexico is as far as pulling in a team that is maybe not their best, but you know, has certainly one of the better teams that we've seen pulled together in a while. And just to see how that does and how the players fit together. You know, again, it's new kid at first day of school vibes, right? Like just excited to see what happens and see how everybody gets along. And, you know, we can kind of go from there.
For sure. Melissa, any final thoughts? Any last minute jabs you want to get in there before we end the pod?
No, I mean, I just want to like absorb like the fact that we're going to be able to see the women's national team play the Azteca. And that just kind of made me wish that we could go there like as fans or media. I mean, hopefully we'll get to do that soon. But I mean, yeah, at least this is an encouraging sign that we'll finally maybe see the national team play stadiums. I mean, I'm pretty sure that a city like Monterrey or Guadalajara could also fill a stadium for the women's national team. So yeah, I mean, here's hoping that this is like a great start to this new era.
For sure. Adriana, any final thoughts? We talked a lot as always, and we had a lot of things to say.
Yeah, first of all, thank you to Melissa and to Eugene for coming on. It's been great having you guys and just talking and just sharing all this optimism and all this energy that we've seen with all that's happened. And like Amy was saying at the beginning of the pod, like less than a month, we've seen it's like so much stuff happen. I was actually just like going crazy, and I was like, well, maybe there's like a FIFA friendly in March and we could have the women's team play like before the men's squad at the Olympic qualifiers and stuff. I don't know. I was just like going crazy right now, just thinking about all the possibilities. I'm honestly really, really excited, really happy to actually see a project on its way. I mean, still there's tons to be done. We still have to actually see results. I mean, otherwise there's no point having a really solid project if it's not coming down to getting results and tickets to World Cups and all those things. But it just seems as though we're actually seeing a huge step forward in the women's project for Mexican soccer. So just really eager to see how it does, they'll probably mess up on the way, because that's the way you get to learn sometimes, and you actually have to learn from your mistakes and keep them going forward and discover new players and see which ones you can count on for future games. So yeah, just really excited to see that. We will do our homework. We'll see what lineup comes up for both games against Costa Rica, so we can actually give a decent lineup next time. And yeah, just happy to see that coming forward for this weekend. And obviously really excited to see what people can talk about as well with the hashtag, El Tri Fem ENG. I think would be the best way to actually keep up with the conversation as well, and to see what fans are thinking about looking at these players and looking at this project.
For sure. And my final thought is a cheat. I'm going to go ahead with all of you quickly, just say it, and then we'll end the pod. Melissa, what's the score for this Saturday's game?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm just going to be very realistic and say Alicia hat trick there.
Just keeping it simple. Keeping it.
I love the realistic part of it. I love
100% realistic. Adriana, score for the Saturday, just for the Saturday.
Let's go with a 3-1 win.
Nice. Eugene?
I'll go 4-2. I think it's going to be a lot of offense. Just looking at the Mexico roster, a lot of, you know, kind of went over how much firepower we have on there. I think there's gonna be a lot of goals, but we'll see.
For sure. I'm going with Adriana. I'm going 3-1 with my counterpart. Should be a fun, exciting game. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you guys for all your questions. Be sure to follow Mel at Chivas_FENG, at Adriana at Adriana de Razas, and of course, Eugene at Golazo de Gringo. I'm Mia Lopez at Azteca Media. Keep up with the content. Like Adriana said, keep up with the hashtag L3FEMENG this weekend, because at the end of the day, it is our football. All right, guys, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.